The Bottom Line in Business. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and each week I kind of rotate through different growth strategies and interview CEOs and presidents of companies that are between about 20 and 200 million. Most have $1 billion in their eyes. And one of the things I've noticed is that the listeners are people from about four different groups. Several of you are, you know, at that $20 million mark. And, you know, one of the things that's important for you to think about over this next quarter is what would it take for you to really drive your business past that $50 million mark? I've said it a few times on the air that you know, when you read a book by Thompson called Blueprint to a Billion, you're going to notice from the statistics in there that if you get past that stubborn level of $50 million, it's like this exponential opportunity for you to go to $1 billion. The statistics are really quite stunning. The ramp is possible. So think about this year. Sometimes I've seen companies that are struggling so hard at $20 million, that's so much work, that it is frustrating for the presidents, the owners, the people who've been, you know, trying to figure out a way through what they've been doing. They're working too hard, and it's a disincentive. And there is this discouragement about, all right, well, maybe I should just cash out, or maybe it's just not going to happen. We're going to be at this size. That's a pretty stubborn plateau. So I'd like you to just, you know, take some of the day-to-day thinking out of your mind and ask, what would the one thing be? What would be the one major change kind of that could really drive our company to $50 million? How could it transform to that kind of scale? It's almost like that City Slickers movie. Remember that with Billy Crystal and these other guys that were, you know, and Jack Palance and as Curly, and, you know, they were trying to find themselves, these city guys that were out, you know, on a ranch and trying to find themselves. And the punchline of the movie, the whole movie basically, is the Curly character putting his one finger up saying, well, that's the one thing, and that's what you need to spend your life figuring out. Okay, same thing for the CEO. And so that's the purpose of the show today. One of the things I'd like to talk about today is that there is a time management issue for executives right now. There are more things distracting us. There are more things pulling us away to keep us off of even figuring out what the one thing is. We're busy, busier than we've ever been. Technology is supposed to be helping us, but in a lot of ways, one of the things that happens is it just makes more to-do lists faster. And we're going to talk to a guest today about the nature of that. But I just want you to think about, if you were going to be figuring out what your one thing is, could you even see it? Could you even see it? All right, let me give you an example. If you're a family business, a number of the people who are listening, a number of the guests have been family-owned. In fact, 90% of the companies out there, the privately held companies, view themselves as family help. So what is the one thing that's facing family business? I didn't even just say which industry. I didn't say what geography. Do you notice that? I didn't say what size the company is. I just said family-owned. That one identifier introduces so many new nuances, so many things that could interfere. And you see article after article after article about, like, in the Family Business magazine this month, there's one about the four factors that interfere with strategic planning. Okay, so is it strategic planning you've got to figure out? Is it your product you've got to figure out? You don't even have to know the nature of the industry or the age or the location of the company to know. It's probably how are you going to address. How are you going to be different than other family businesses and not have the damage that's done? How are you going to fight the inertia? How are you going to fight the kind of an aversion to conflict that happens in a family business? How are you going to be different so that you continue to learn, even if some relative doesn't want to learn? How are you going to have growth be and the value of the business be more important than somebody's personality at night over dinner? How are you going to have that resilience that a business needs despite family dynamics? And one of the things that happens to a family business is you get so busy trying to show how the asset of being a family business is going to help you and not actually address the fact that you're not immune to the inertia, to the aversion to conflict, to the comfort zones, to the lack of momentum, to the not even want to talk about succession. That whole dynamic. If this is the year that you would, before you have a problem, before you have something that would call the question, you just arbitrarily say, you know what, I'm going to figure this out, and in 2008, we're going to transform our business. We are somehow going to address, we are somehow going to change that our business faces that one thing that stops other family businesses from growing. You get it? Now, that may take a lot of conversations. In fact, it's better than to do it now before there's an issue, before there's a problem, before there's somebody calling the question, before somebody's ready for retirement, before somebody gets sick, before somebody refuses to do the work. In fact, if you're on a roll and you're doing fine, address it now. How do you be resilient? How do you break the pattern that the overwhelming majority of family businesses can't seem to do? I'll give you another example of the one thing. I had a number of clients that, you know, they look at our slogan and they see it's accelerated growth with sustained profitability. Now, a lot of people are interested in accelerated growth, but I put that for with sustained profitability in there for a reason. I mean, it's not enough to just, you know, step on the accelerator and make your business go nuts with lots more work and lots more employees and lots more tasks and a lot more complexity and risk if it doesn't result in you ending up with more money. And there are a number of companies out there where profitability has eluded them. They run the PAR reports in their industry. They run the comparisons. They look on Moody's, and they look on Dun & Bradstreet, and they look on TRW, and they never, ever, ever hit the metrics that are of comparable kinds of companies. And even if they they rationalize and they'll say, well, you know, somebody else is counting something as profit that we use as expenses, and somebody else has a different type of accounting and ours is more honest, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, however you want to rationalize it, you can go directly to an accountant and have them equalize all the numbers. I got to tell you, you know, if you're not trying to lie to yourself, you know, if you don't have a pattern of profitability, you do know. And I've seen people year after year after year ignore that they have a institutionalized, a routinized, a permanent pattern of not valuing profitability, of continuing anyway, of never looking at how the decisions are made, of never addressing that maybe the top person has a tendency, just like somebody who has a checkbook when they're a kid and thinks they have money, and when a little bit of money comes in, they spend it, and they just don't live within their harvest, as they say. You can have that become a whole culture in the executive team, but it's curable. It may take a little while to figure out. It may take changing who you have as your CFO. It may certainly change, you know, maybe it's actually more appropriate for your comptroller to be a stronger person. Bigger thing is, what are you doing about it? Why would lack of profitability be acceptable? What would you need to do this year to look honestly, it's almost like therapy. Look honestly at your own company, at what compromises profitability over and over and over. Same thing if you have a pattern of problems with retention. I've seen that rationalized over and over and over. Is this the year that you would need to look at? How come we attract wonderful talent and then they leave? I'll give you another example. I wanted to give you four examples of where people are busy and then they don't look at the core problem. Just interviewing somebody the other day, and again, it doesn't even matter what the industry is. These kind of patterns happen for growth-oriented companies, and what happens internally behind the scenes. What if the partners of a company have a basic philosophical problem with each other? One is a believer in being conservative, and they're over the operations area, but they think everything starts with sales. They're not going to hire a whole bunch of employees. They're not going to, you know, bulk up. They just want the sales department to sell something profitable, and then they'll go and buy things. Then they'll go and hire. All right, the partner is in the sales side of things and wants to spend money and is hesitant about selling and committing to the public because if they don't have a deep bench, if they don't have all the people that they want to promise to prospects, what do they have to sell? That is a pretty basic argument. It's a philosophical argument. It's almost like what couples have when they're arguing about how to raise kids or what to do with the money and whether or not they're going to have two homes or they're going to play it safe. One person would be proud of the fact they have no mortgage and the other one thinks it's the stupidest thing they could ever do. If that discussion about philosophy and belief systems is not addressed, how are you going to grow that company? Think about the day-to-day dilemmas, the opportunities that are missed, the decisions that aren't made, if you don't address that one thing. Now, one of the things I would recommend to you, you know, you got to pick your conferences, you got to pick your books, you got to pick your, you know, your continuing education very carefully, and I understand that. And so I'm pretty hesitant to, you know, recommend just tons of conferences. But if this is the year that you would like to look at the one thing, if this is the year that you really want to figure out, you know, you're a growth-oriented company and you want to look at your marketing and sales and you want to look at, you know, how does your money work, and listen to what other entrepreneurs who are growth-oriented, like-minded, are talking about. In Vegas in October, the Gazelles International Organization is having its fall conference. It's on October 23rd and 24th, and it's at the Luxor. If you go to www.gazelles.com, or you go to my website, thegrowthstrategist.com, www.thegrowthstrategist.com, you'll see information about the conference, or you can get information about the conference. Gazelles is where I want you to go. Not every conference is going to help you discover that one thing, but it's too easy to get distracted, to be too busy, to be in the minutia, to have other people think they can give you assignments, to be dealing with technology in a negative way, to be running around trying to figure out how to take care of everybody else. Is this the quarter that you address the one thing? And when we come back, I've brought back a guest that I had on, oh gosh, I think it was in February, if I'm remembering it right. Yeah, February. And the reason is, Susan Asher of the Asher Group is a successful business owner, but she's giving speeches and she's talking with people. She's working in the HR field and the staffing field. She sees her CEOs are kind of missing. And we're going to talk with her about how she does it and what her clients are doing. We'll be right back with Susan Asher. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Talk about his money. Call us toll free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability. Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business. You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and today's guest is Susan Asher of the Asher Group. Hello, Susan. You there?
Good morning, Aldana. How are you?
I believe I'm calling you, and I'm in New Jersey, and you're in Denver, Colorado, correct?
Well, in the mountains of Colorado,
yeah?
The Rocky Mountains, 2 hours outside of Denver.
Gotcha. Well, you know, people are on the program from all over the world, and I sometimes forget to say where everybody is, and I get these emails saying, well, where was that person at the time that they, I don't know why they care, but they care. Anyway, how about you tell me a little bit about the Asher Group? I don't want to miss that process.
Some
okay. People want to know your pedigree. What's the company do?
Well, we are the premier provider of HR contract professionals. What we do is we place contractors or temporary professionals in human resources. That's my 30-second elevator speech.
Okay. Well, you know, and why would companies need contract professionals? I mean, you know, at the point where they're really growing, don't they need somebody in-house that they're permanent employee?
Yes, but they're also terribly scarred from the downsizing and restructuring, I think, of the early 90s, and they've learned a lot in terms of managing their resources on an as-needed basis.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that if they are growing, they bring people on in the form of, let's say, a contract recruiter to bring on or hire 100, let's say, IT professionals, and when that assignment is over, when that deed is done, they let that person go. And obviously, it saves the company a lot of money, and it's just the way the world is going today.
So it makes them a lot more flexible, and then
mm-hmm.
the next month, if they needed somebody that would be able to help them with the policy,
they'd bring them right back.
Yeah. You know, somebody who's great at recruitment may not necessarily be great at doing policies.
Well, that's true. Very, very true. So they might need an entirely different person. But when you look at what has happened to certain departments, and HR being one of them, HR has become an outsourced function in companies. Yes, you have a core of people that are running the shop every single day and keeping
mm-hmm.
the motor running smoothly, but you don't need to keep a permanent, let's say, recruitment manager on board necessarily if your needs are not such that you're constantly looking to grow the company.
Yeah, and it's very different skill sets, a recruiter versus a trainer versus a compliance type versus somebody who's almost an administrative person dealing with payroll and you know, benefits and such. So I get you. And particularly the kind of the people that we're talking to on this show, this is the companies between 20 and 200 million and they're trying to grow. They got to save their money. They got to be judicious in their overhead.
You know, and it's funny, Aldana, sometimes they will think that the hourly rate that we charge for a person is expensive, but it's not really expensive because the other thing that bringing a contractor or any kind of temp onto your business is that when that assignment is completed, you're not dealing with any of the ensuing heartaches that might come from a lawsuit or unemployment or any of those things. That really comes under the rubric of the company that's handling the temps or the contractors.
Yeah. No, I had a friend that one of his roles was he did 5 or 6 assignments in a row where basically he was the hatchet guy. He'd
right.
come in and help them do the downsizing. I mean, not everybody can do that. And he knew the last person he had to fire was himself.
Right.
And he did it 6 times in a row. I couldn't do it. It would depress the hell out of me.
Was he black and blue when he was done?
No, he just had a good way about him. He, you know, it was just business. He knew why they were doing it, and he took care of outplacement. He took care of people. He had that, both the knowledge, the skill, the attitude, everything. He was just right. And if somebody tried to have their personnel person internally that had been there for 30 years do that, they might have a heart attack.
Right.
So anyway, how did you get into this?
How did I get into HR staffing?
Yeah.
Well, we were a search firm back in the day, back in the 80s and up until the early 90s. We were a retained search firm, and we placed folks in finance and accounting. And with the corporate restructurings that went on in the early 90s, there were very, very, very few jobs, let's say full-time jobs, or what people used to call permanent jobs. We all know there's no such thing as a permanent job anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So what we essentially looked at was the fact that the companies were they didn't need 100% of the people on the payroll all the time. And so we started with placing contractors in finance and accounting and logistics, and then from there found that HR was really the department that needed us.
And the size of clients that you serve?
We serve really the Fortune-based companies, very large pharma companies, very large financial services companies, money center banks, things of that nature. So generally larger companies, but we also have serviced startups, companies backed by venture capitalists that need somebody. They're not sure if the company's going to be a go or not, but they certainly need somebody to be there for a year or two to see if it is.
So you see the range of behavior. That's where I'm at, is, you know, the people listening, again, they're between 20 and 200 million. And, you know, just to make sure that your observations are relevant to them.
Well,
another way it's relevant to them is you're living their journey.
I think even in their own companies, I mean, I think that whether you're 20 million or 200 million, I mean, I myself, and we're a small company, we've used temps on and off as on an as-needed basis rather than bring somebody on full-time or stretch ourselves so thin that we're not productive at what our core business is.
And for anybody that hasn't seen your promo, I mean, you know, you've been on the Inc. list of the Inc. 500 list of fastest-growing companies about 10 years ago, right?
Yes.
And you've been a finalist for a couple of pretty big awards like Ernst & Young.
Right.
So, I mean, so you're living the journey of the people who are listening. So now let's segue into, you know, what made me to choose you to talk. I think you're making some observations about some of your clients. What kinds of things are you seeing in your customers that you think is, in a way, stunting their growth? You know, how do they think? How do they act? You know, what are they saying that tells you? You know, they're getting in their own way.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of micromanaging going on. I'm the queen of delegation, and the reason is because there are certain things that, for me, and I think when you look at what a CEO's position in the business is, a CEO should be working on the business, not in the business. It's not to say that you're not aware of what's going on and you don't have people giving you feedback, but this business of never leaving the cell phone turned off, never putting the BlackBerry, and I know I might be politically incorrect, but I call it a crackberry because people are so addicted to these things. And so people feel so indispensable. In yesterday's journal, there was a great article on CEOs being able to unplug, going on vacation, and actually letting their staff, letting their team run the organization. It makes people feel great. It makes them feel empowered. It makes them feel like, wow, this person really trusts me.
Are you able to do it?
I'm sorry.
You know, you've got a growing business. Are you able to do it?
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, and the other piece of it is I probably take more vacation than most people I know. So if I am calling in or I am doing a show like this when I'm on vacation, it's because I've allowed myself the luxury to take that time away from work so that my creative juices can go again and flow again. And I think everybody needs that downtime. I mean, just sitting and looking out at the ocean or a mountain or whatever you're doing on vacation allows you to think about things that you really can't think about when you're staring at the computer screen all day long. So how do you grow your business if you never allow for that downtime or that creativity?
Let's connect it back to my opening segment. I think people can't see that one thing that they should be working on if they don't take some time off.
That's it. They're myopic. They're micromanaging. I think it's to the extent that a lot of companies expect their employees to be tethered to these crackberries. Mm-hmm. It's really an insult to the employees, I believe, because there is a way of getting your job done without working 24/7. You know, companies talk about work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they need to start really practicing that.
Places.
I'm sorry?
It's an oxymoron for an
It is an oxymoron, and I think that you're going to see, obviously not with the baby boomers, maybe not with Generation X and Y, but the new millennial generation, of which my 17-year-old daughter is one of those folks. I mean, these folks are, yes, they while they're tethered to technology, they also know when to shut it off. And they also know to look for a company that is going to offer them that work-life balance, a company that has really branded themselves as a company that cares about the people that are working for that company.
Now, when you talk about email, I mean, I noticed one of my clients, the managers were spending an average of 2.5 to 3 hours a day.
I mean,
just doing internal emails within the company. And a lot of times when they analyzed it, they found that they were emailing each other about what they didn't get done, how they were going to miss a deadline, there was a big project they weren't going to be able to talk about.
I mean, I we're coming out with our newsletter this quarter, and you know, one of the things I'm talking about is why do we have to answer everything in a nanosecond? Why can't we, if someone asks me something or sends me an email, why can I not reflect on that and think about it overnight or maybe even for a week and get back to that person?
Oh, there's some people that just blows my mind. They will call me up and they don't even say hello. They go, did you get my email?
Yeah, and maybe you did, but guess what? Maybe
and
you're busy.
One of the
people
email
think
blows my mind. It could have gone to cyberspace. You might not have ever gotten it. How do you know what you don't know?
Well, that's true, and I also have people saying to me, you know, I thought you would have answered me by now on your BlackBerry, and I said,
yeah.
Well, I don't have a BlackBerry. Believe it or not, there are times that I'm tethered to the cell phone
mm-hmm.
if I'm out and about, you know, traveling or whatever, but I don't have a BlackBerry. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's required. I wish I was that important, Aldana, but I'm not.
Some of the CEOs that I deal with not do those kind of mechanics, regardless of the brand, because it's symbolic of somebody else behind them isn't doing something.
Right. Well, they don't trust the people that are working with and for them, and I think that's what's really important, too. You have to, if you're in a good team and you have a great team working with and for you, then, again, you know, the word empowerment, people, they talk about it, but they don't, they talk the talk, but they don't walk it.
The ones that make me nuts are the ones that because they hit the send button, they actually think they can give you an assignment instantly and be mad at you if you didn't do it. Where was the negotiation
right.
about, you know, expectations that might not even have been in your job description?
Well.
And you know, sometimes it's just pushing it off because we're all buried.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get back, I want you to give us some suggestions, though. Okay, in some cases, you're just saying untether.
Right.
We'll be right back. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Does your business have what it needs to compete in today's marketplace? Does your company's image set you apart from your competitors? Whether you are looking for a new brand identity or product strategy, host Robert Hale will help you create new market strategies that will grow revenues and profits, whether your company has $1 million or $100 million in sales. Building Successful Marketing Strategies airs live on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 Eastern. To be successful in today's competitive market, a commanding strategy that positions your company for growth will be your strongest possible strategic advantage in any business. Building Successful Marketing Strategies will explore innovative ideas and practices that use the latest theories and practice. Join host Robert Hale every Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 3 Eastern, for Building Successful Marketing Strategies and begin building brand and market share.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and today's guest is Susan Asher of the Asher Group. And before I go further, Susan, can you give some contact information for your company? Where would somebody reach you?
Sure. Well, our internet site is www.ashergroup.com, and that's ASCHER group.com.
Okay. And is there a telephone number or,
sure,
or an email address?
Sure. 597-1900.
I appreciate that. Now, if you're talking about the email being having people tethered, I think one of the things we need to do is be practical about it. That company that I found that had the 2.5 to 3 hours, they made a special project out of it,
mm-hmm,
to really analyze. They had somebody come in, you know, a contractor come in and analyze and regroup what their emails were about, and they made brand new rules about what they were going to do on email and how they sorted them. So some that were just for information went one place, some that were, you know, a call for action went another. I mean, they took the technology to a different level so that they just weren't buried in hundreds of emails.
Mm-hmm.
Let's shift for a minute, because it isn't just that we're being too responsive and losing our center. I think it's that we're not looking for that one thing. Now, in your case, you must see clients who put you through the ropes to bring in a whole bunch of new people, and then somehow they lose it, and those people quit. What did they do to kind of have retention be a problem?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to say that if salary increases are just 3.7% on average and inflation is 4%, we're not even keeping up with that. And there have to be a set of employees that are obviously in the top tier, and even those folks are not necessarily being compensated properly. But what we're finding is that in addition to companies experimenting with performance-based incentives such as variable pay and performance-based compensation and, mm-hmm, giving sign-on bonuses and all that, that's all great, and that's a good thing. Non-compensation incentives are huge to employees.
Mm-hmm.
Flexible hours. A lot of companies just don't have that. I mean, someone needs to take their kid to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they just go? I mean, it's really very, very rigid in a lot of companies. You almost have to take a day off of your vacation to take your child to the doctor. There's something wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Telecommuting. You know, there are a set of companies that really understand that work can be performed virtually for certain functions. And then there are a set of companies who, if they don't have that person FaceTime in front of them, they don't believe that they're working.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's that trust factor.
It's the trust factor. And
sure.
I mean,
you
know,
if you're a control freak and, you know, all that, you're going to have a hard time growing a business, I think.
But they never think about the fact that some people live 20 miles from their job and commute 2 hours to get there in the traffic in this state of New Jersey that we're in, or any place that you might be living, L.A. or Denver.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all the big cities have these congestion problems. And what does it take away from a person's job when they have that stress every day back and forth to the office, to say nothing of what they're losing from their life?
There's people that are commuting 10, 20 hours a week.
Or more.
Oh, how much more
and then
work, and how much healthier could they be if they didn't have to?
Right, or the folks that have to travel on top of it and sit in airports. So
there's people that don't even have any kind of recognition of, say, summer hours or vacation or things like that.
You know, it's interesting. We talked earlier. We are a small company, and for ever I have had summer hours on Fridays during you know, the peak season from Memorial Day to Labor Day. Because my attitude is, if you haven't figured out what you need by 1 o'clock on Friday, then please call me on Monday morning. And I know that sounds very fresh and patronizing, and I don't mean it to, but that's just the way I feel. Your emergency is not going to be my problem, you know, during the summer when half the world is on vacation every other week anyway.
Yeah. Well, this is a good example of a time that people tend to take vacations, because you're not going to be able to get your clients and prospects on the phone anyway.
No, and you get, you know, or you get one and then you don't get the other one because he or she is on vacation. So, you know, I think it's important to look at, and giving an employee, you know, a lot of my clients will even say, wow, you do that? Wow, that's great. I mean, that's such a small thing to me in the scheme of business, and it's such a big thing to my employees.
I'll give you an example from us. I have an employee that, you know, joined us when she was still in high school, and she developed cancer, and she was away for a long time. And she came back, and of course she retained the seniority that she would have had as if she'd been here. And I've had people say to me that they were surprised at that. And another employee that left for a while, they, you know, studied something, a different topic, went and tried that, and then we hired them back, and they're happy. Same thing. We counted the times that they had worked with us X number of years ago. And I've had people bawl me out, telling me I'm gullible and stupid for doing it. Are you kidding me? It's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
I just want to finish on a couple of other non-compensation incentives.
Yes.
And again, mostly this is for big companies, but in smaller companies, you know, child care, can on-site child care or helping with child care monetarily, all these things are huge benefits that companies can offer that really help the balance in terms of children being cared for. And we're going to see it soon with elder care, because a lot of baby boomers are finding that their parents are near that time where maybe they're going to need some extra help. And it just really alleviates a lot of the stress of not worrying about that piece of your life. And finally, when you look at Google, you know, providing a free lunch, again, not every company can do that, but, you know, Bloomberg operates their operation out of New York City. It's a 24/7 operation. They have a food court. I mean, there isn't one thing there that you can't get to eat 24/7. That, coupled with the fact that they have phones situated all over and you can call anywhere in the world anytime. Why? Because when you're working at 2 o'clock in the morning, they want to make sure that they've taken care of you so that you can get your job done, because you're making big sacrifices for that company.
There's
to be
a lot
successful.
Of self-help corporations where it's pretty self-contained, where, you know, there's the dry cleaner.
Right.
On the first floor that's next to the deli, which is next to the shoe repair, which is and right in the same building. So
and
that
let's face it, though, Aldana, those are
huge
corporations, and they need to do that because they are huge employers. They have to be the leaders. And then we, as a small to mid-sized companies, have to look at what they are doing and pick and choose what we can do on a smaller scale for our employees that sort of mirrors that.
That's my next question, is you must get objections when you present this to some of your clients and say, okay, it's costing you too much in recruitment. You really could be doing better if you retain. And they go, I can't afford all this junk. It sounds good.
Well, for
how do you respond to that?
You know, well, I think that how I respond to that is you need to, example is telecommuting with HR folks, where we want to place somebody in a position and they're on the outskirts of what a decent commute is, but they have the absolute skill set that the client is looking for.
Yeah.
We've had cases where we say, why not let them telecommute? Oh, we don't allow people to do that. Mm-hmm. So I say to the HR people, our CEO doesn't want to do that. You need to go to the CEO and not just say, we want to do this, but we want to do this and base it upon numbers. Mm-hmm. What is it going to do? How is it going to save the company money?
Yeah.
It's going to save the company money, because not being able to retain people is a very expensive thing.
Oh, it is. I mean,
but
I
when you're talking
people,
to a CEO like your listeners,
not
we want
with
to
this,
see things in black
know.
And white. We want the numbers answer to it. And sometimes you can't always give that, but you certainly can in the case of something like telecommuting, which really would open up a whole new set of talent for some of these companies that are looking for hard-to-find people.
All right, so when your observations about your clients, when you're seeing them get in trouble, one of the things is that they're micromanaging. A second thing is that they're letting the technology drive them. Third thing is that they're having some trust issues. They've hired folks and they're paying them big bucks, and then they act like they don't trust them.
Right.
And then you're seeing that they're being a little cheap on some of the compensation and some perks.
Right, and they need to be more. They need to give, because the more you give, I find you get what you give. And so when you are giving things to your employees that enhances their ability to do their job, they're going to want to work that much harder. They're going to want to do that much better. I have an employee, Gail. She's, you know, my right hand and heads up all of our marketing and recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she'll come in the morning and say, yeah, I was looking, you know, I posted this job on Monster last night at 11 o'clock, so hopefully we'll see some people this morning. I said, what are you doing at 11 o'clock at night posting a job on Monster? Because I want those people to see it when they open up their email in the morning. So, I mean, I don't ask her to do that, but
there are things that she
obviously gains, you know, working together in our team that makes her want to do that. And that's just a small example. If companies could see that, giving something to people just makes them want to do more for you, makes them want you and your team to be successful. It's huge, and you can do that whether your company is large or small.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, I definitely appreciate your being on the program today. Is there any kind of final thoughts about, you know, what you've seen in your clients and what you find is stunning their growth? And
well, I just think we need to focus more on the bigger picture. We need to focus on, you know, working as teams, you know, making sure that we're taking care of each other, you know, trying to balance that, the work and the life, and letting go a little bit, and making people realize that when you do let go and let them do their jobs and let them perform, that's really going to make everybody that much more successful.
Now, you're going to be on TV this Sunday.
Yes, I am.
Good Morning America?
Good Morning America. ABC Good Morning America.
So what did they interview you about?
They interviewed me about unplugging on the weekend.
It's like what we're talking about.
That's right.
Yeah, and you're going to unplug between now and Labor Day.
How people need to turn off their phones. If they do have to look at their work over the weekend, if there is something that they haven't been able to accomplish by Friday, then pick a time, stick to that time. Don't answer non-emergent emails. Put them in folders that you can look at first thing Monday morning. You know, it's very, very simple. I mean, nobody, Eldonna, I'm sorry, nobody is that important that they have to
I think that people can find out whether or not they're a true executive or they're still an incorporated career by how they manage their vacations.
Exactly.
If it really is defined around them and their ego and what they want to play at and the micromanaging style, all that kind of stuff, no matter how many employees you have, you can still tell that the imprint is there about, it's about them and not the marketplace. It's about them instead of the value of the business by how they behave at vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I really appreciate you being on the show, particularly because I think in about 2 minutes you're going to be unplugging.
That's right.
I am impressed. I was your last thing before you took off. I appreciate the time. And once again, say your website so everybody knows how to find you.
www.ashergroup.com, ashergroup.com.
I appreciate you being on the program.
Thanks
have a really
for having
good
me, Eldonna. We'll talk soon. Okay.
Bye. Thanks
Take
for
care.
Doing it. This is The Growth Strategist with Eldonna Ambler. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Join Ava Lake every Wednesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for an exquisite look into the art world and the stories that define the art and the artists. Each week, Ava will host a variety of guests, from the critics, curators, gallerists, to the players and artists who make it happen. That's the art world with Ava Lake, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. right here on the Voice America Women's Channel.
The Communication Catalyst with Tammy Quinn is a provocative radio talk show for business owners and corporate executives who are impacting their bottom line by improving their organization's social structure. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel for The Communication Catalyst, building better business behaviors.
more and more business people recognize the importance of spirituality in their work. How do busy professionals discover what rings true for them? Embracing the Journey with Karen Humphrey Salad explores what it means to be spiritually fulfilled in business and how to integrate spiritual direction into a career. Expert guests, authors, and inspiring speakers join Karen every week to discuss such issues as honesty, compassion, generosity, ethics, and integrity in the workplace. Take a positive step forward to greater life balance. Tune into Embracing the Journey with Karen Humphrey Salad, broadcasting every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel, the bottom line in business talk.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and today I'm talking about the one thing. I think what I'm finding is that rapidly growing companies, the leaders are so busy and are getting lost in the minutia, and it's too easy for a couple of the key causal things, the things that the strategic drivers for the business, to get lost in the day-to-day minutia. So and ironically, one of the suggestions is to take a vacation. If you look at even someone as wealthy and visible as a Bill Gates, you'll find that there is a two-week period of time that he takes his books and he takes his magazines and he takes his websites and such, and he just kind of immerses himself in a think week, you know, trying to learn, trying to get up to date, trying to see whatever he missed. There are more than one person that does that. We talk about that within Gazelles International all the time. Lots of key people that you hear are very successful. They have different patterns to how they manage their schedule. They have their continuing education time, they have their reading time, and they have their, completely break time. And when you completely break, one of the things that happens is you're discontent. Something that's not right. Something that's eating at you, that you've been shoving down because you can't talk about it on a day-to-day basis, starts to bubble up from your toes. So if you're walking on a beach and you think you're by yourself and the seagulls in the sand, you're really not. And one of the reasons for this last segment here is I want you to think about letting that bubble up happen. Now, you need to have a safe place. Now, some people, when they take a vacation, unfortunately what happens is that they're buried in all kinds of family relationships. Maybe they're so busy taking care of their kids. No offense about kids. I'm not saying that. But if you have so much to do and so many people to entertain and so many places to go, things to see, you're booked back to back to back to back with touring, you never had bubble up time. It really is important to retreat. And even just a few days to let stuff come up, because the deep thoughts, the things that are bothering you, the things that just aren't right, it takes a while to have them come up for most busy, very, very bright people. It's an intense way to live, to be a CEO. All right. What comes up for a lot of folks is anger. It'll be discontent that why isn't this CFO running the scenarios? I paid big money for this person and I spent all this time and we were supposed to have such different results and how come it hasn't happened? Or I brought in this sales manager and they were supposed to, whip this business development thing into shape and it's still not taking place. Okay. That's bubble up. that, you know, something happened. And often it comes out as discontent over performance of an individual. And they may or may not have been, quote, at fault. There might have been something that wasn't clear about where the company was going. There might have been something that didn't add up in, you know, what, when they were brought in versus the resources behind them. I have one client where, you know, they brought in a sales manager and they didn't have a decent sales force and the CEO couldn't see it. And instead of, you know, they bawled the guy out for not being a good manager, but he tied his hands so that he couldn't clean house and start again and hire new people. If you let the anger come up, you can hear some things. Like, I'll give you an example from me. There was a point in growing the consulting firm where we were, you know, we had grown to 123 full-time consultants. And, you know, we hit one of those recessionary periods, and the people in the New England office were basically wishing that they had more work and wanting somebody else to sell for them. There's a whole, you know, a plateau that happens with professional people sometimes. And they would say, you know, if we're supposed to be international, how come we don't have an office in Europe? And, you know, how come you don't spend money on this? And how come you don't spend money on that? And we were not growing, you know, at the scale that we really should grow. Okay, now, it took me kind of getting annoyed. Well, if it's so important, you know, how come you're not doing it? I mean, you keep pointing to me and saying, how come you're not spending this money? And how come you're not paying me this money? And how come you're not selling this? And how come... And there was this anger at some of the key employees. And one of the tricks that I learned was to say what you're angry about slowly, because there's an idea. There's an essence of what you should do in saying what you're angry about slowly. Okay, so if one of my angers at the time was, well, if you think it's so important, you do it. I want to see you try to do this. You know, I've been developing all these businesses and these multiple offices and such, and what if you had to do it? Okay, say it slowly. Okay, what if you did it? And honest to gosh, that was the moment. We had this recognition that some of the key people in the New England office should learn how to reach out to Europe, should learn how to figure out what the clients are, should figure out where the office should be, should figure out how the pay should work. It took about 18 months, but it was transformational for our business. And the reason that I wasn't doing it is I had an assumption in my mind that I was going to have to be the one that was going to have to feel, it felt like commuting, travel across the big pond, be away from my family, develop the European office the way I had developed the Kansas City office. And that just isn't true. But I couldn't see it. It was like I was afraid I was going to have to do the same thing I'd done three other times. And the assumption is that it couldn't have been done a different way. It was a real metamorphosis for me. It was a metamorphosis for the business. And it's a tangible example of you can get in your own way when you least expect it. Okay. Take a break. It is now, but to the end of August, there is an awful lot of people, not just in this culture, but in the United States, but in a lot of other places, that at the end of a season, when it's still warm, when it's before school starts, you know, the world still works on the school system. This is an excellent time for a vacation, but not the type that is run, 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 run. I mean, step back, take a curative break, walk on the beach, do something that lets what you're angry about bubble up. Then say it slowly, because there's probably an idea, an essence of the one thing that you need to look at that's there on the beach by yourself if you let it come up. And I'm going to remind everybody that there is a conference coming up in October at the Luxor in Las Vegas at the Growth Summit, where a number of people just like you are trying to look at their businesses in an honest, open way and figure out what's the one thing that can drive the growth of their business. How do they get out of their way to not micromanage, get too responsive to everybody else, lose their center, lose their trust, become cheap, and not even understand what work-life balance is about? It can happen to any one of us if we don't take a walk on the beach. My wish for you, as it is every week, is for accelerated growth with sustained profitability. And if you can hear from what I'm saying today, it's also without a loss of yourself in the process. You can reach me at www.thegrowthstrategist.com. The toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-ALDONA, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, and the email is aldona@ambler.com. Okay, folks, you're going to hear this program a couple times. I'd like you to listen to what Susan said. There's subtleties in what she's saying about what her clients are doing. Have a good week. And for the and this is accelerated growth with sustained profitability. This is the Growth Strategist signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.